I look at our pastor and I says, doesn't the Bible say this is means for a divorce? Our pastor looked at me with so much wisdom. It's almost like he could see for miles and generations what could happen with this decision. And at that moment, he says, you're right, Limari. You do have the right to divorce him, but there's another option. The other option is grace. And I thought about the word grace and how it literally found me dying in a pew. And I looked at Tony and I said, I choose grace.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We started a conversation yesterday with the Navarros, Tony and Limari. Good friends. We've done conferences with them, and what a story.
Oh, this story. You guys, if first of all, if you didn't hear yesterday, go back and listen to that one on our podcast or go to familylifetoday.com. Today, we even go deeper into this, and it gets even more dramatic.
So let's jump in. So you get married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how'd that go?
It went well for the first couple years.
Very budget friendly.
Yeah. We get married. We're doing well, as good as we possibly can, again, with the things that were handed to us. One idea that we have is that, you know, we bring all these things into our marriage from our, you know, what we've learned, experiences, mm-hmm. some of the ways mm-hmm. that we deal with things, you know.
All of our baggage.
All our baggage. I think it's right. Pete Cesario. He says, Jesus may be in my heart, but grandpa's in my bones, right?
You get
these parts of you that you bring into marriage that trickle into the narrative of your marriage. As much as we were now new Christians, there was still a lot of areas of surrender that God was still getting at. And so 3 years into our marriage, now we're serving. And so we're growing in our faith. And then 3 years into our marriage, we had become like ships in the night.
Yeah.
I was working at night. Now we have 3 kids. He's working. So we're kind of tag teaming. He's coming in, I'm leaving. Right. He's leaving, I'm coming in. And so
we had
drifted.
Yeah, before that too. So I needed to get a career. So I went into the trade. That took me out of the loop for a while and took on 2 jobs. So it took me out of the community. Mm-hmm. I wasn't consistent anymore. I'm still a new believer. It's still trying to figure this all out. But ended up, there were a lot of temptations that I was not able to process. And me drifting away, really getting cold to the things of God, not practicing, you know, I would call my disciplines, right, in a sense, reading the word, having time with God, obeying. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of get up and go and then try to make it to the next event.
Isn't that interesting, though, how we don't understand the impact of just those daily disciplines?
Yeah.
But you're saying, like, and we all get busy. That can happen to every single one of us. And it does happen to all of us.
Yeah.
But you felt, did your heart got a little colder and distant?
Because we went from, like, being so active to now becoming not so active. And she was still, you know,
very active
in
the church.
Yeah. And she was growing in the word. She was growing in her prayers. And I felt like, wow, I don't even know how to pray like you do. You know, you just do this. But I felt good about the fact that, like, I was bringing home an income.
Providing.
Right. And then overtime opportunities came. So I was taking on those opportunities as well. And so we saw the drift. We were definitely drifting from each other. I was drifting, though, from the Lord. She at least was still connected in that way. But we were, like she said, like going in, tag teaming, you take this shift, I take the next, and not really growing this marriage together.
Yeah. You know? And our marriage was, I thought it was okay, but it was shaky. And so 3 years into our marriage, I get a phone call from a mysterious woman who calls me, who tells me, your husband, Marcos, because that's what they call him at work, your husband, Marcos, is having an affair with a woman at work, and she hangs up.
Wow. And called, said that, hung up.
And just hung up.
What'd you feel in that second?
I call it the wrecking ball. That wrecking ball came swinging into our marriage. And I was left with pieces. And so I called Tony immediately at work. And I said, you have about 15 minutes to get home. I just got this phone call and you have to explain yourself. And in our kitchen, he told me, I'm not having an affair, but I've fallen out of love with you. Mm. That is some of the hardest things to hear from the man that you love. So I grab our kids and I leave and I go to the place where I feel safest and I go to my pastor's office and I call Tony from there and I tell him, if you want to salvage what's left of our marriage, show up to our pastor's office. This was the beginning of our, we call it the demo day, where everything came crashing down in our marriage.
Tony, when you were called at work, what did you think?
I kind of describe it like life stopped. Right away, your first initial response for me was like, I want to deny it. Everything is about to change right now. I get home and I'm still denying it. Like I'm trying to like damage control, trying to figure if I can get out of this without damaging too much. But it was kind of like hiccups of truth coming out. But when I get to the pastor's office, he's encouraging me to, Tony, get it all out, man. Mm-hmm.
Tell her everything.
Yeah, just get it out.
Let's
just
like,
he knew. Our pastor knew.
Yeah, but I felt safe with my pastor. Mm-hmm. Pastor was kind of like my second dad. But he said, Tony, just get it out there. Are you having an affair or not? And I said, yeah, I had an affair. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it seem like it was maybe one time. Like I just had an affair. But the minute I said that, Lamadi already falls through the floor and she's just crying.
Yeah. You know,
he's just sitting behind his chair, just like observing us both. I'm like about to cry too, but I'm just worried about what's going to happen next.
Well, I mean, when you heard him say yes.
Yeah.
Because before he said no.
Yeah.
And you probably thought, well, maybe he's true, but there you go. And he now says it.
Yeah.
What happened?
I collapsed to the ground. I was crying. There was a lot of questions in my head. Like when, who, what were you thinking? And so I'm here crying on the floor, and I immediately get up, wipe my tears, and I look at our pastor and I says, doesn't the Bible say this is means for a divorce?
Ooh, those are your first words.
Those were my first words. I had told Tony before, if you ever cheat on me, we're done. I mean, I saw my mom get hurt by men. I wasn't going to be that person. Our pastor looked at me with so much wisdom, and it's almost like he could see for miles and generations what could happen with this decision. And at that moment, he said, you're right, Limari. You do have the right to divorce him, but there's another option. The other option is grace. And wow. He said those words, and I could feel myself go back to the moment, that 21-year-old girl who came to the altar, who was broken. And I thought about the word grace and how it literally found me dying in a pew. And I looked at Tony and I said, I choose grace. And right those there. Three words were,
I choose grace.
Just came out. And I know it was the Holy Spirit. Mm. Saying the words and living them, that was two different things. But right there, I was able to say, I choose grace. Mm-hmm. And our pastor said, both are going to be hard. Mm-hmm. One is going to require you sticking it out, working through the junk. And the other can devastate your family, your children. Both are going to be hard, but you have a choice today. And so that moment I said, I choose grace.
Tony, what'd you think?
Well, I had already reasoned that I was going to probably move my things out of the house and or the apartment and start living with a family member, my mom or somebody, and be the weekend dad. When she left, after we had that conversation at the house, I got a chance to walk around the apartment and just look at, I messed this all up. Mm-hmm. Messed it all up. And I never wanted my kids to go through that.
Yeah.
So
you're thinking I'm going to lose all this.
Yeah. Everything we went through for the last 3 years. And then when I get a chance to hear that, I'm like, what? She's going to give me grace? We share in the book, I said it wasn't just a word I heard or something theological. It was like a blanket or coat that I needed. I was wrapped around. Mm. Like, wow, what's happening right now? Like, that's not Lamadi. That's not the Lamadi that I married. She would never do that. Mm. And so for her to say that, it was, it blew me away, but it also like stopped my thoughts of like, wait, maybe we're going to get through this, right? Maybe
there's hope.
Yeah, there's hope. Although it was just like, again, She just said it. We haven't got a chance to even live it out. But if I'm going home tonight, I'm like, that's something I never knew that was going to happen. You know, that I'm going to be able to go home and stay in my home with my wife and kids. You know?
So what happened?
I made that decision. And then the work behind that came.
Yeah.
And he told me it happened once, but all the revelation of the affair started to come out. In fact, it came out through a dream. I had a dream that I saw the other woman, how she looked. She tells me in the dream how long it had been happening, that she was in love with my husband.
Come on.
And I wake up and I turn to him and I tell him the dream. And he's like, what?
When was I it, say, was it accurate?
It was accurate to the T.
So did you own it then? Like, okay.
No, I was like, that's a crazy dream you had there. But she was like spot on. And I was just like, wow, like God is telling on me here. And again, it was like she had like certain things. Like this is the way I heard her, like her hair color, mm-hmm. the car color, kind of car it was, like how long it's been happening.
The color of the
just like,
car.
Wow.
Did that make it worse for you, Amari?
He told me I was wrong. I lay down, but the Holy Spirit is like, there's more. And so I just began to pray. I said, God, whatever is done in darkness, bring it to the light. We were at a business meeting. He walks out to the parking lot and is on his phone. He doesn't know I'm behind him. I grab the phone. And when I listen, I hear her voice. Uh-huh. And she had left a voicemail. And she begins to tell everything. And
what does that mean?
She's telling him, I love you. Don't throw all this away. We've been doing this for this long. You said you cared for me. I mean, she's crying on the phone. And my heart is, when I say wrenched, I couldn't get her voice out of my head. And I looked at him and I pointed at the sun. And I said, Tony, everything you do comes to the light. Live in the light. And I walked away. He was raging because everything was coming out.
It's exposed.
Yeah.
It's exposed. And so
faster than I wanted it to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in me, I knew that it was going to all come out, but it was like, let me control how much comes out.
Yeah, God's like, because let me take control now.
Yeah, because the little bit that we were sharing, and it was the arguments that were bringing out more. Mm-hmm. We get to the point of arguing so bad that it was like, okay, well, this happened too, and so it would just add more. And then it would fuel even more of the hurt. And so it was like there was no end to the arguments.
Yes.
And so
I peppered him with questions.
Oh, I can't imagine.
We don't recommend now.
Yeah. We don't.
The details.
You didn't need to know the details.
I didn't need the details. Yeah. The details only were destroying me and causing me to get to a place of insecurity. But it's Memorial Day weekend, and we get to a church picnic. My cousin comes to me and she's like, Limari, I have a word for you from the Lord. And I said, okay. And she's like, let's go for a walk. She walks with me and she says, this is not your battle. You cannot fight this the way you've been fighting this in human effort. Mm-hmm. She's like, surrender your husband to the Lord. She reads me a scripture from the book of Romans where it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay you, do good. And it's like heaping burning coals over your exactly. enemy's head. And though Tony wasn't my enemy, he sure felt like it. Mm-hmm. And so I surrendered him to God. I'm praying there. She left me there in the forest preserve. And I began to pray. And I said, God, I surrender Tony to you. I can't do this anymore. I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind. I said, but God, if I were you, here's what I would do. This was my last opportunity.
I've been in a few prayers like that. If I were you, God, here's a good idea for me.
Yes. I have a great idea, God. And I said, but God, this is your sheep, and he's wandered from the flock. Break his leg so that he never wanders again. And put him over your shoulder until he knows your sweet voice and never wanders from you again. In Jesus' name, amen. And I go to Tony. I'm like, I surrender you to the Lord. I'm going to stop fighting with you. And he's like, good, because you're driving me crazy. And then right there, we're on a basketball court. We're playing basketball. And off to the side of the field are people playing softball. And a friend of ours, a cousin of ours says, hey, I'm going to go get some food. Tony, cover for me. And I said, go ahead. You could cover for him. I start going with my cousin to the food area. Before we even arrive, someone runs to me. And they said, your husband. And I said, he broke his leg. And they said, how did you know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tony doesn't like this part of the story. I come over to Tony. He is on the softball field.
So you ran into a guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the game and broke your leg.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
So it was crazy because I'm thinking it was a slow kind of like setting for a movie where it's a fly ball. It's coming over third base and I'm in the outfield and I see it just like staying up there. Like if God had paused it for me to run up to it, right? And as I'm running up to it, I'm thinking, again, this is my community, which I just now, I'm Tony the cheater, you know, like they're going through it. Tony got caught cheating. So I'm thinking I'm going to save the day. You know, the mighty just forgave me. The church thinks I'm a cheater. Now I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to catch this ball. And the minute I go to touch it, I run into somebody else. And when I looked up, I saw my leg pointing in the other direction. And I felt the pain. And I'm just like screaming. I heard her voice a little shortly afterward. Really felt like, I don't know. I felt like this was an opportunity God had for me to get out of this situation. Because I was having moments of truth, but in a field of lies. Mm. You know, I mean, the last... months of what I was doing and stuff. And so I felt like this was the first time like I can even stop, you know, and have a pause on everything and be able to reestablish in this season my relationship with the Lord. I mean, again, not only was I drifted from the mighty, I was drifting from God.
So it's like, right? Stop the hiding. So, you can't run anymore.
Exactly. Yes. And then dealing with the arguing, doing it like in a natural sense, just trying to like manage. I'm like still hiding in all of this.
Protecting yourself.
Yeah, protecting. And so now it was like a surrender. Now Tony's at a place. The mighty just surrendered. And shortly after, now I'm at a place of a season of surrender because I couldn't walk. It was months. I had to have another surgery after that as well.
Wow.
And she had to help me with everything. She had to help me bathe, had to help me anywhere. Wherever they put me, that's where I stayed.
You were broken and you were totally surrendered. Yeah,
I was broken. I was broken and broken.
I mean, did you finally say, okay, here's everything. Not going to hide anything anymore. Here it is.
Well, we started to share more as we started to talk through how things happened and what was going on and reestablishing some boundaries right away, like the phone call stuff, bank accounts, all that kind of things, just making it all into one. In a natural sense, I mean, you would want to do that if something like tragic happens in your family. You're going to try to do anything you can to protect the marriage. But even through that process, we still had really bad fights. We would have moments where it felt like it's going to be good. And then moments where it was like, this is not going to work, you know? Mm. And I don't know if I'm talking too far ahead, but this is when like 18 months later is when we went to our first Weekend to Remember. It was in 2002. Mm. I'm just calling it that for reference.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But that was the I Still Do event.
People don't even know Family Life used to do stadium events.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Called
I Still Do.
Went to.
Yeah. If you're like, I want to go to one of those, you can't. We don't do anything.
Done.
But and you can go to Weekend Remember, which you guys speak at, we speak at. But
the conference
you went to one.
Was very similar to the Weekend Remember.
Oh, yeah. It's
the material was
content.
Very
probably the same content. Yeah.
Yeah. In between that, we had just what we call like the messy middle, like triggers and reestablishing trust and him getting accountability. And we talk about this in the book, but
I'm really glad because so many people have faced betrayal of some kind and they don't always sit in the messy middle.
Yeah.
We then hear the end story. We're like, oh, and so then if we get in the messy middle, we think, wait, this isn't how it goes.
Right.
This isn't how it should be going. But you're saying, no, this is part of it.
I mean, is this, you know, you guys are, you do home renovations.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
You're famous on TV from the show. What was the show called?
Battle on the Mountain.
Battle on the Mountain. You should have won it.
Should have won it.
But you're renovating and each week we watch it, you know, you get to see who did it best. But the messy middle, is this like you're getting the studs up, the drywall's not done, the electrical's going. I mean,
you can't
messy.
See what it's going to be yet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's starting to take shape.
You did a great job with that, Dave.
Well, whatever. I love doing home stuff. Yeah. I'm not good like you, but I love it because I'm cheap. No. I don't want to pay somebody. Yeah.
That's exactly how we got into
That's
it
because
we're
into
cheap
it.
Too. Huh?
I couldn't afford all the things the mighty really wanted. But so in the messy middle, and my babe, you can share too on it. I just wanted to say, like, when we do a project, there's times where you may have taken on something that you didn't feel like you're that qualified to finish, you know? Yeah. And when everything is out, like you said, you're right in the middle. You don't know when it's going to end.
Yeah.
It feels like you're adding on another thing and another thing and another layer and another material and all that. And in the messy middle, that's kind of how it felt like. I felt like there were moments where I can see this is going to go this direction, but then there were a lot of days where it was like, this is hopeless. Let's just sell this and go start something new, right? Because it was really hard to see through it. Even leading up to that I Still Do conference, we were already now at the place like, this doesn't seem like we're getting traction. in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And even with all the things that we saw happen with the lake, surrendering to the Lord and all that, well, we see people that are getting divorces too. So it's like, well, maybe then this is this.
So you were actually thinking we may just end this thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's kind of like
just so hard.
Even after
it's
all so that, hard. It's still not working. So you know what?
Because we were fighting and we were like in the process, in the middle of the dust of sandpaper when you're renovating a house where you're just kind of crawling over things. God was restoring things and renovating us from the inside out. And it was hard. Yeah. And there were times where I was like, I don't want to keep doing this. Like, is it always going to be this fighting and feeling like whenever we got into a fight, we were going 10 steps back. But I like to say that we don't see the progress that's happening in the process, but there's progress. In the messy middle, when you see the sandpaper and you only see the drywall coming up, you forget that it's going to take some time to get it to the place of making it beautiful again. And God was really getting to some heart issues in us. For me, I had to love the man who betrayed me. There was one moment where I'm driving him. He's, you know, he's in the back of the car. He's, you know, with his little
scooter
crutches. And I'm triggered. I don't know what triggered me. I stopped the car, pull it over, and I said, get out the car. And he's like, what? I said, get out the car. You know, I'm just triggered. And he's limping and he's getting out the car and I drive off. The kids are crying. I'm driving. I look at him through the rearview mirror and I hear the Holy Spirit say, go back and get your husband. And I'm like,
thank God for Holy Spirit.
I don't want to. I don't want to forgive him, God. And God is like, go back. And I would go back. I would just hear the Holy Spirit just showing me again, don't give up. Keep fighting, keep pressing in. And he was doing all he could do after the leg and everything to rebuild trust. He had accountability. He had men in his life. He was doing everything necessary. But forgiving doesn't cause you to forget. And it would take years for me to go, you know, look back and say, okay, the way that God did this, I can look back and say, I'd be willing to do this again, God, because you brought us through and you are a great restorer.
Yeah.
And so we like to say that even when you look at the Navarro house, you see the painted walls and the beautiful decor, but you can never really know that behind those walls, we were a fixer-upper. We really were. And God really came in and restored the ruins of our marriage. And he painted us with grace. He sanded us down with, you know, just chiseling away at character flaws inside of us. And so God brought us through a process.
I can't remember the name of the show, but you know it on HGTV where it's either flip the house or buy a new one.
Yeah, it's Love It or List It.
Love It or List It. I love that show.
Yeah. I love that show.
Yes.
And it's sort of what you're describing because I think there's couples listening and they're like, do I want to love it?
I don't know. I want to leave it and go get the new thing.
Right. That's List It.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm done with him. I'm going to find a better man. I'm going to find a better woman.
Yeah.
And you were there.
Yeah.
Thinking this man has really hurt me and she hurt you too. I think couples are right there. You're saying don't List It.
Don't List It.
Love It.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I've seen you cry so much or as much in any interview.
I don't think it's happened. I'm still crying.
You know what makes you cry?
I'm wiping tears the whole time.
I know. It's because of God's redemption, like what
when
he does.
When you hear and see the work of God in somebody's life, yeah, that makes me emotional.
And we're not done. we're going to have another day with them.
No, this just keeps going. And I bet you've been crying too. Again, if you want to get the book, you can go to familylifetoday.com. It's in the show notes. It's called Ruin to Renewal. And tomorrow, we're going to get the final part of their story.
I just want to remind our listeners that our vision at Family Life is every home, a godly home. And we need your help to get there. And when you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support makes that vision actually possible.
So the question is, will you come alongside us and alongside families in need?
And you can go to familylifetoday.com and read more about it and become a partner. Just click the donate button at the top. And again, you can go to familylifetoday.com. Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry. helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.